going to be dealing with the sovereignty of God. We look at the mind of God, the plan of God, or humanity. And I would say we're going to be answering some questions that I know some of you have here. Like a friend calls it, some perplexing questions. Some questions that when an unbeliever throws it at you, sometimes you lose balance. Some of us just lose balance. And they ask you, how can you say Jesus is God? And some guys cannot explain it. He is God now. I just know he's God. I don't know when he will come up and say 600 contradictory scriptures. I don't want to do the next year or year, but I'm going to explain, I have a teaching like that. I taught it some years back. On scriptures that you think contradict themselves, and I'll clear it for you. Because I love to read the Bible. Because it's the greatest, it's the book I read the most in my life. I mean, I've read it, I read it a lot. Because it matters to me. I believe that every child of God will have that attitude about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alright, so we're actually look at God. Amen. we want to do some study about God. We have theology, the study of God. We have Christology, the study of Christ in the scripture. We have pneumatology, the study of the Spirit. We have bibliology, the study of the books of the Bible. And then we have eschatology, the study of the last day's events. And those are the important subjects of study in the Bible. Everything will hinge upon, the study of Christ, because Christ is the revelation of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says we have the mind of Christ. John 5:39 says, all the scriptures testify of him. Luke 24:26-27 says he's in all the scriptures. John 1:45 says he's in the Genesis, he's in the law, he's in the prophets, he's in the Psalms. So he is the mind of God. John 1:1 is the word of God. Hebrews 1:1, God who has sundry times in diverse manners, in time past spoken to our fathers and the prophets. Verse 2, this last days has spoken to us in his Son. So Jesus is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick, powerful, dividing and powerful, and then it spreads so dividing to asunder of spirit, soul, and body, the bones and joints, and every intent of the heart is discerned by the word. So the word of God is a person. So in studying about Christ, we come to know God. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, but by me. He says, he that has seen the Father, in verse 9, he says, has seen me, pardon me, has seen the Father. So, in that study of scripture, like I said, we have the study of God the Father, we have got theology. We have the study of the Son, Jesus Christ, Christology. We have the study of the Spirit, pneumatology. And we have the study of the last day's events, which we call eschatology. We have the study of the Bible, all the books of the Bible, bibliology. Each book, what does it speak about? We start from Genesis. What does Genesis represent in the Bible? What does Exodus represent in the Bible? You see everything tailored to an end. And that end is salvation through faith that is in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says all scripture, if you know the scripture, it will lead you to wisdom and salvation through faith, that is in Christ. So we want to look at the sovereignty of God. James chapter 1, one of the beliefs of many people, God is the sovereign ruler who does all things. That's true. And it's at the back of that, they keep believing that every event in humanity is orchestrated by God. And it gives you this fatalism belief that, even if I pray or I don't pray, God will do what he will do. We have to believe that, it's God. And then if you lose your job, you say, maybe God has a purpose. So we keep having questions. What is God trying to tell me? Because we don't exactly understand the revelation of the Bible, we now are subject to life's experiences. And because we come from a background, for instance, I know the Muslim sect believe that anything that happens, God has to do it. And funny enough, if you don't study the Bible very well, you can pick some scriptures here and there that seem to tell you that anything that happens, evil and good, all come from God. But look at James chapter 1. I hope you will love this study. Yeah, fine. I hope you will love this study. Alright, then you should. James 1, now look at how James presents something. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. I love that. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Look at where he starts from. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Now, this is the root of humanity. He's saying the very root, and if everybody has a story to tell today, we'll say, well, Adam sinned, and then man was made a sinner. And he's telling you the very root of the problematic nature of humanity, which is sin. He says, God cannot himself be tempted of any man, neither can he tempt any man. You know, he says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust had conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Look at, these are the key ingredients in human history. Man's desire, one. Sin, two. And the last is death. I mean, everybody will say the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. Everybody will say that. Romans 5:12. For by one man sin entered into the world. But James is saying here, God will not tempt with sin, neither can he be tempted of sin. He's saying here that every man, tell me every man, good. Every man, when he is tempted, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You can see that man is spoken of from the beginning of that predicament to the end point. Praise God. Good. So, that's key. So, James is saying God will not tempt with evil. And it goes to the root cause of evil, which is sin. He said God will not, he doesn't have a hand in sin. Hallelujah. He doesn't have a hand in sin. And this is fundamental. We're going to look at this scripture over and over again. Again, it says in verse, you know, it goes on to say, tell you in verse 16, it says, do not err. That means it is possible for you to err. The word err there is don't make a mistake, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, hallelujah, and every perfect gift is from where? From above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no what? Variableness. Neither shadow of turning. You know what variableness is? You know, when you have, you have made in Nigeria, you know, made in China. You know, it's not, so there's no Taiwan model that, okay, sometimes God can do perfect things, he may not do perfect things. That every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It will not change. Titus 1:2 also lets us know that God cannot lie. Hallelujah. God cannot lie. So you can't say God can do anything. That statement must be qualified. God cannot tempt anybody with evil. And God cannot be tempted with evil. He says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. So God cannot lie. You know, Titus 1:2 says God cannot lie. Hebrews 6 verse 18 says it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. It's impossible for, you, how many of you agree that just a change in the truth is a lie? Let me see your hand. An addition to the truth is a lie. A taking away from the truth is a lie. An expansion of the truth is a lie. He says, God who cannot lie. Malachi 3:6 says he cannot change. So, what often changes, you know, is our perception. Look at a man like Job. Job's perception was what made him to say all he said. You don't act beyond your perception. You know, every time Satan, you know, went with God, as we read it in the book of Job, and then he asked to, you know, test Job and put sickness on his body, Job was not aware. So Job kept saying, if I've received good from the Lord, can I receive evil? He said, the Lord give it, the Lord take it. Why did he make those statements? He made those statements based on his perception. He didn't make those statements based on who God is. So your perception should never be, you know, where you now build your entire life. People like that, their experiences is just everything that they see. But you see, that's not where we're going. So we look at something, you know, like I said, the Bible is an intelligent book. You cannot understand it except you read everything. I'll take that again. You will never be able to know the revelation given in the Bible until you read everything. You see, when you do piecemeal reading, you will fall into error. When you pick scriptures here, you will fall into error. And I often say this, when you want to lay a doctrine in scripture, number one, you must see that doctrine in the book of Genesis. It must be seen in the laws of Moses as a type and shadow. In the law, in Genesis, it must be like a germ in a seed form. In the law, like a type and shadow. You see it in the Psalms, in David's songs. You see it in the prophets as a prophecy. You see it in the four gospels, where the word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see it in Jesus' teaching and his lifestyle. You will also see it in the Acts of the Apostles. But above all, you will see it well taught and explained in the Epistles. So in other words, you need to read everything. Everything. You need to read. You know, thank God today some people have Gideons, and I love Gideons. I love what they are doing. They created one Bible that has Psalms and Proverbs. And then Matthew down to Revelation. But you see, truth of the matter is that you can't know God like that. You have to read everything to understand, you know, who God is. How can you claim to serve somebody? You are born of someone, and you pray to someone, and you go to church to receive from the person, and then the very little details about him, you don't know. So Jesus says in Matthew 19, and it's from there that we will take, like I said, James has said something categorical. God does not tempt with sin, neither does he tempt anybody. Is that very clear? Matthew 19. So I will start this series, you know, I've not started. What I call the law of Genesis. What did I call it? The law of Genesis. Or I call it the law in Genesis. Okay. Matthew 19. They came to Jesus and they asked a question. Of course, the Pharisees would always ask you stupid questions, but they did. They say, is it lawful in verse 3 for a man to put away his wife for every reason? That is divorce. Not divorce. Divorce. We call it divorce. Divorce will have wife. Divorce has I. Amen. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Look at that. Have you not read? So Jesus will always point to where? The scriptures. Well, you know, some people will now begin to say, you see, is he right? Is he wrong? Mm-mm. Have you not read? Read what? That he which made them at when? The beginning. At when? Oh, come on, talk to me. When? Okay. Made them male and female. The beginning. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. He's quoting Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:24. You see, he made them male and female in Genesis 1:27. You will now read verse 5 in Genesis 2:24. So no, it was not just talking from his head, just like some preachers do today. He was talking from the Bible. It says, shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. Verse 6. Therefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. One what? What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now look up. People often think, listen to what I'm saying. Of course, they quote this on the wedding day. What he has said here, he says, a man will leave his wife and his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. He was not talking about a particular marriage. He was talking about marriage. He was not saying, let nobody come and scatter them. No. What God has joined together, that means in marriage, God joined a man and a woman together, that is what is called marriage. Now look at verse 7. And they said unto him, okay, now look at the intelligent thing. Jesus quotes from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. They now said to him, but why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? They are saying that in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 to 4, note it down, Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 to 4, Moses gives a room where a man can divorce his wife, can put away his wife. Don't forget the question they asked was for Moses. He said, what reasons can a man put away his wife? And Jesus says, go and read. When God created marriage, it was a man and a woman, and they are one flesh. He says, if it's one flesh, it cannot be into two. Now, he now said, but Moses, much later, after this scripture you have quoted, he now says you can put away a wife when you write her a bill of divorcement. And Jesus said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Note that statement. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, allowed you to put away your wife, but what? Moses allowed you, because of the hardness of your heart. God did not change. His word never changed. But Moses allowed you because of the hardness of your heart. However, but from the beginning, it was not so. So that means we have the beginning, the mind and the pattern of God, and then we have things that happen because of sin. Let me see how you understand that. Is that clear? There is the beginning. In John 1:1, the Bible says the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It now says the same was in the beginning, Genesis, with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So there is a key principle, there is a key study we should do in Genesis 1, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, to verse 3, to chapter 3. So, Jesus says here, and He answers a question, a key question. Look at how He answered that key question. That question is this. Why can't a man divorce his wife? And Jesus said, look, it is one flesh. Well, God has joined together, they're going to put asunder. And they're now asking a perplexing question. That kind of question can upset you. But in the same book, right? In the same book, Moses said, I mean, you can't say Moses was silly. Moses was just drank palm wine. No. He said, Moses said that you can put away your wife. Under those also reasons. And he said, in the beginning, it was not so. Jesus quoted two key chapters. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis. And he said, in that beginning, it was not so. So, we have a question in our hands. We have the beginning. We now have things that happen not based on the change in God's nature. Not based on the change in who God was, but a change in who? In man. In the beginning, it was not so. Because of the hardness of your heart, Moses allowed you. Now, so things happen from the beginning or after the beginning. Some things happen. And mostly people's view about God are things that they read based on the hardness of man's heart. So today people, you know, you always says, why God is so good? Why did September 11 happen? Look at what happened. I mean, why would God allow, you know, this to happen? Why would this happen? You know, and then you see a Christian say, well, born again, or even a pastor say, well, you know, God's will is mysterious. We cannot tell. You know that Isaiah said, who has the mind of the Lord that can question? You know, Isaiah said, who can instruct? And Paul quoted in the first Corinthians 15, and he says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the understanding of Christ. Amen. He said, well, so people begin to ask questions, perplexing questions that can throw you off balance. But when I was coming to the faith, some years back, you know, over 23 years now, I had an uncle who was in one of these societies, and they used to do a lot of intellectual study. He asked me a question about Jesus. I was claiming I was a born again. He threw a question to me about Jesus from the Bible, and I was stunned. And he told me, "You don't know anything." He now began to lecture me about Christianity. I was born again. He was not. He now derided everything. But somehow, you know, God saved me. Deep down my heart, I just knew, no, I believe in Jesus. But I was wise enough to run away from him and go and do the study of the Bible. Intelligent enough. Because as a person, and I have a trait personally, I love sure. I love to be sure. You know, so for some of us to just say, that's his own journey. What kind of a useless person are you? Things so fundamental to what you believe that may affect your eternity. Is it? Who knows God? Nobody knows God, including Jesus. So people will throw perplexing questions at you. And you will not be able to answer when you have not been able to read the Bible. Now, I want to show you one of such perplexing questions. And I'm going to ask you that question. John 9. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees read the Bible. So they knew what to throw at Jesus. In John 9, a question came. And I'm going to ask you that question. And we'll try and answer that. We're going to be asking some questions. That, you know, some people in Christianity don't need it. Because if somebody asks that question in church, the pastor can look at the pastor. So they don't bother. I was watching a television program and somebody on TV, he made a statement that we should flog him. He said, some people believe that God the Father is the Son, is the same, the Holy Spirit. He said, some say no, there are three. He said, well, that's not my own business. He said, let's leave those ones. He said, the key thing is for him to meet our needs. If not for the fact that, you know, you should not get judgmental, you can't call that kind of person a Christian. You can't call him a Christian. Meeting needs. Jesus met needs in the Bible now, and they were not Christians. He fed unbelievers, he fed sinners. In fact, in John 6, after finishing the fish and bread, he now said, let's do Bible study. Yeah. They thought he was going to teach them how to get more bread and fish. He's like a preaching pastor. So as a guy to teach doctrine, everybody left sad. Have you ever seen that kind of thing before? A preaching, I have 5,000 men, minus women, you know, women will be more. And children, that will be much more. That's a congregation of at least 10,000 people. And you are teaching, you did a shop for free, and everybody took some. You give them indolent, they ate it. Then I say, hallelujah. The Bible says, and they say, they took their Bible and they left. And only the 12 leaders and fellowship with the leaders, who really had not nowhere to go. Oh God. And the Bible says, they walked away from Jesus and never followed him again. And part of that crowd said to him, so how can meeting your needs be revelation? Are we here? You think because God healed your body, you are born again. You just be healed and you go to hell with your healed body. Praise God. Okay. John 9. Now look at this. Look at a perplexing question. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. I mean, this is a key question. a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, can you imagine your own guys? This is not by seal. Your own pastors. He said, Jesus, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must walk of the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can walk. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, the issue with this kind of verse is this. The Greek does not have commas and full stops. One. So, oftentimes, the way it has been, sometimes the translators put commas themselves. They did us some favor in some places. Some places, they just did us a lot of criminality. You understand? For instance, when you see John 3, when Jesus said, except a man be born of water, verse 5, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The word and there, he did a lot of damage. People have felt that you need to be born of water and the Spirit. Meanwhile, the Greek of that statement, the word and, is a word that could imply an adjunction of two things, or could imply this is it. That is, when I say, Deola is a student. Okay? Studying medicine. Now, because when you say studying medicine, you have to put something that links both. So I can say Deola is a student and studying medicine. But you know, what I'm really saying is that I'm only explaining the meaning of student to you. Let me see another thing I'm talking about. Or I'm saying Deola is a student one, then Deola studies medicine. That'll be contradictory. Now, in John 3:5, when he says, born of water and the Spirit, you notice that he never repeats the word water again. He keeps saying the Spirit. Because the water there is symbolical of the Spirit. Except a man is born of the water, that's why you will say the water. You see, except a man is born of water, and the Spirit. And by the time you read verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, you see the man is born of the Spirit. The Spirit. So water there was symbolical of newness, a new birth. Because in verse 3 he said, if a man is born again, the word again there is the symbolical, is where water came out. Again, newness. Except a man is born anew by the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Let me see how you understand that here. He's not talking about two things. He's talking about water, symbolic, the Spirit, the actual agent of the new man. Now, the same way, so when you look at this, you will see comma, you will see, so it was just put like that. The grammar developed over time, and then people started adding commas and full stops and abbreviations. So, those who translated it did their best. If you had done it too, you probably have done worse. But in this place also, it was made to look like nobody seen. But this guy came so that God can manifest his power. So I will now ask you a fundamental question. Where do babies come from? There's quiet. This is a cemetery. Where do babies? When you go to the maternity ward, and hear, where? I mean, don't say, Pastor, what kind of question is that? Where do babies come from? They come from God now. Good. Thank God for that. But where did they come from? We have an idea that, you know, listen well, God sits in the heavens. You know, this psyche that just shows you don't know him. When you psych God too much, it means you don't know him. You know, when blind Bartimaeus started saying, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. He just was just, they said, Jesus Christ, hey, who's the son of David? What's all that religion? Want to get here, call my name, you will be in front of me. Jesus said, Father. Father is enough. It's all that it is. Okay? So, people think that God is in heaven, you know, sits down. Then, all these babies are in heaven, whether they are small or tall, just, they are in heaven. They are already in heaven. I mean, heaven, of course, if you are in heaven, that means you are pure, you are holy. So, it takes them, one after the other. and say, Sapayo. Sir, Nigeria. And I says, ah, why not US, sir? He just says, Afghanistan. Where you will know, you may not have the opportunity to hear the gospel, he will send you there. You in heaven, no? And then he sends you the earth. Then he sees this one, he says, you, I will blind you from here. So that when you get there, you are blind. So the whole earth will know, I am God. Who is there like unto me? So when you get to the earth, you will hear the gospel. Then you came from heaven, you go to the earth, you are a sinner, then you are now asked to still come back to the heaven. So, there's no gospel to hear. You came from heaven, rather than living gently in heaven and play Ben 10, it sends you to the earth, and eventually, you didn't hear the gospel, then you go to hell. Why not leave you here? So we believe that God orchestrates our destiny. That we're somewhere. God sits down. And he says, I know. And then you kneel down before the throne of God. You kneel down. Because you're a woman, you kneel down. You're a man, you prostrate. So that God is a Yoruba king. So he says, I'm sending you to heaven. You will be a sinner at first. You will have smoke, drunk, killed people. I'm not talking about how, sorry. You are going to be like Peter. Then, when you are done, I will send Alex to preach to you. You will not hear it. You will fight every visit again. Yes, ma'am. Then, you will go to hell. Okay? Yes. She comes into the mother's room. Grow and grow, you preach and preach the fire. So we believe that these things are orchestrated by God. So if there's any question that can throw your balance, that this child came out with Parkinson's syndrome, Down syndrome. So we don't do that. Say, Father God, I love you. Don't you know something? What is this? What have I done wrong? Look at the cattle. Who does not even know Jesus? He's not just passing anymore. This one place has not been from the moon. And look at me. Ah. The pastor will answer you. Sister, who are we? The quest from God. He likes to be. You can just say, you just no longer do it. Who are we? Who are this? I'm trying to make it as light as possible for you to understand. Give God does all. But let's answer a question. Where do babies come from? Let me pause and give you some things to just think about. Don't come to any conclusion. You know something happened, you need to pass differently. And a couple, very black led, husband and wife, came back to a child, fully white. But why couldn't you believe it? Because it's natural. The two parents were black. They were to determine the color of the skin of the child. That is it. Jehovah is God. How? Why bring that kind of child? Did you just say, She says she went through labor and she's sleeping. And then you see white child. Then she's resting what? Where did you know? Eh? And she went and said, "Darling, who is that?" Now that's very easy for us to conclude. Amen. Why is it? Just relax. Where do babies come from? Amen. Okay. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, it was not so. Amen. Where do babies come from? We want to answer that key question. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So, God created the heaven and the earth. Like I said earlier, Genesis 1 and 2 does a lot of explanation to us. Now, there are some people that believe something very funny. They believe that Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is that God created the heavens and the earth. Then all of a sudden, something happened to the earth that God created. Some people believe that that was when Lucifer fell. And then Lucifer fell, and when he fell, he now destroyed what God made. And then the Spirit of God came. You see, don't be believing all those bedtime stories. Look at what he says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If he had said, "And the earth became without form and void," that would mean when he created the earth, then the earth was destroyed. He didn't say so. He said the earth was. Are you there? Okay. If you read further, which we are going to do, you would discover that this was just a narration of something. The earth was much more created later. Because the word he used there, form and void, is an Hebrew word, two Hebrew words, tohu bohu. Tohu bohu means nothing, nothing. That's what it means. Nothing, nothing. That's what it means. No, it's nothing, nothing. Nothing, nothing. That is, there was nothing. That's showing you that before God created, there was nothing. That is why the word created is the Hebrew word bara, B-A-R-A-H, which means to bring out of nothing. Because if there was something, when God was creating, that was no creation. That would be either a designing or a recreation. Let me see if you understand that very well. Okay. So the earth being without form and void, tohu bohu, means there was nothing in the earth. That means there was nothing before God created things. That's what he was saying. Nothing existed. Okay? So, he didn't say the world, let me say that again. He said the world, the earth became. He said the earth was. There was nothing. And when he uses the word darkness was upon the face of the deep, darkness doesn't mean that darkness, something that was evil. Darkness here means there was no light. Nothing, no illumination. And then he says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And he says, and the Lord God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Actually, the Hebrew is light be. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And you will see that the light spoken of here is not the atmospheric light that we have today. You know why? Because as at this material point in time, the earth was not created. The heaven was not created. Look at the next verse. And called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, verse 6, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters." Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament. The word firmament there is a space. The space we find today of water in the atmosphere and water under the earth. Are we together? Okay. And divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And he called the firmament what? Heaven. So, when you say heaven, listen well, we are referring to the atmospheric heaven. It says there's water there. Of course, science has taught us that when you talk about evaporation and all that. Is that clear to all of us? Good. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters," don't forget there's now water under the heaven. He says, let them be gathered together into one place, and the dry land, and let the dry appear. And it was so. Let's take verse 10 together. Once you go, and call the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas, and God saw it as good. Do you understand that now? So the earth came in here. So when Moses used earth in Genesis 1-2, earth was just to refer to the creation of God, not the earth we are in. Because people ask you questions. Let me just, some things are, intelligent. You ask a question. We're going to answer it in this series. Like I said, we're going to take a seminar for Jesus. Now, the earth. Of course, we know by study now that we have other planets. Are they? Huh? We have other planets. Good. And, the question is, the death of Jesus, does it affect the other planets? The sin of man? Those are questions we can ask. The church should be intelligent. For instance, the church world for up to 500 years ago, the church world held the belief that, this is serious now, that the earth, that the sun used to revolve around the earth. So they believed that what Joshua did was to stop the sun. Because of the nature of the interpretation of the earth that they had in the Bible at that period, they believed that he stopped the sun. But we know that what stopped was the earth, not the sun. Are we together here? Because if you do a simple analogy, you will see that if you have the sun going around the earth, you can't have day and night the way we have it. Are you thinking? Okay. Now, so you look at this and then you see that, so the earth was the dry land. You had the heaven and the water, above the heaven. And the water under the heaven. Under the earth. Now look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth, this is a very key thing, don't ever forget this one. Let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So God said the earth will bring forth seed and the seed will have seed. So every seed has seed. Is that clear? Every seed has seed. The principle in Genesis you must understand. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the night, the day from the night. This is curious. It says the night and day will be divided by the light in the firmament of the heavens. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And he set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it, and it was good. Now look at that. So really, what we call day and night is the revolving of the earth around this firmament. Have you? If it turns to the moon, it's what? If it turns to the sun, it's what? Is that clear to you? Good. Now, there's a principle you have to understand here. Aha. It now goes in verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly every moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Notice what from verse 11. When living things began to function on the earth, God created a process that everything will bring forth after its kind. Now, look at verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after its kind. And it was so. I want you to take a pen and mark everywhere you see after its kind. You see, whenever you see emphasis in scripture, pay attention to it. Because that is the law of Genesis. The law in Genesis. Everything will bring forth after its kind. God never must produce anything. Everything should bring forth after its kind. And 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Are we together? So God saw that it was good. Now what was good? Was it the creatures that were good, or the principle? Huh? Okay. Good. Now look at verse 26. Don't forget our question. Where did man, where do babies come from? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Now notice this. When he was going to create the plant, what did he speak to? The earth. When he was going to create the animals, the whales, what did he speak to? Look at it now. He spoke to what? Huh? Look at it. You lost that. You couldn't have. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that had life, and found that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heavens. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the first day. 24. And let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. So, he called forth from the whales from where? Huh? He calls the beast from where? The earth. So he spoke to the earth, he brought forth animals, he spoke through the waters, he brought forth what? Now, when he was going to create man, he spoke to what? Himself. Okay? So he says, he created man, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Notice something. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over all, every creature that creeps upon the earth. And so, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he in. Male and female created he them. Male and female created he them. Notice something. When he said male and female created he them, by the time you read chapter 2, you will see as though Adam, the man, then Eve. Now, in the originals of the Hebrew, unlike the usage of male and female, normally in the Bible, which is Ish and Isha, it changed the words. These words particularly were to distinguish man. Not to separate man. That in mankind, there is male and female. In mankind. Why? Because the reproduction process for living creature was going to be male and female. The second time there was, God spoke again to the creatures, including man, to multiply. You see it in Genesis 7:2, down where Noah's ark was, that time the earth was destroyed. And then the earth was recreated now. And he said to Noah that you see every animal will come in twos. Male and what? Female. Because that is the Genesis principle. It has to be male and female. Okay? Are you there? So, what we, now, let's go on.
So what we will see in Genesis chapter 2, where Eve was taken out of Adam, you know, you understand that, where Adam was caused to sleep and then Eve was taken out of Eve. What we are now discovering, they are calling cloning. This is not, you know, it is not a creation. Praise God. I mean, that's cloning. Have you? Let me leave it. So Eve was taken out of Adam. Why? Because Eve was in Adam. Was there a creation? No. There was a distinguishing in man, male and female. That's what happened. So a principle was established. Now notice something. A principle was established for everything God created. Now look up. Since this period, God has not created anything. He hasn't. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Simple. Did you notice that when John 1 says that the same was in the beginning with God, all things were created by him. He was not referring to now, he was referring to then. All things was created. You won't find creation after Genesis 1 and 2. In Genesis 1 and 2, everything was created and then a law was set. What was that law? Everything will bring forth what? After what? Its kind. So God created how many times? Once. And set a law in motion. Let me surprise you. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 now says that in verse 4. These are generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created and in the day that God made the heaven and the earth. Now, let me now ask you a question. Okay, leave it. Look at 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the field. Every herb of the field before it was in the field, it grew. For the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. So for how many years? More than 1,000 years. There was no rain on the earth. Was rain God's creation? You're quiet. Are you quiet? The very first time you see rain was judgment. Judgment of man's sin. People believe that rain comes from the throne of God. You just throw water. That has a lot of water. But you just saw where water is. Water is above the heaven. And water is under the earth. There is no water in heaven where Jesus sits. Are we clear? Okay. So, what happened in Noah's time was judgment. It was a state of confusion. Water was supposed to stay above and stay under. But water now comes down. So the earth had a self-irrigation system. Water will come from the earth and then water the face of the ground. And things were done neatly. Praise God. Let me see if you are following this. Some of you are already lost. Do you understand that? So you see rain for the first time in Genesis chapter 7 and 8. Let me say another thing. You know, today we have Amakan, we have winter, we have summer. All of these things happen because of man's sin. The Bible quotes Genesis 8:32. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. And then it says cold and winter, right? It says summer will not cease, cold and heat. You discover that seed time, harvest, cold and heat, each dispensation will have the absence of life, or absence of light, or absence of something. Seasons have to do in Genesis 22 the absence of something. I got a result of man's sin. Let me show you another thing. Did you also discover that until, look up now, scientists, now let me tell you something.
You must remember that until after the flood, man only ate herbs and lived longer. You must remember that after the flood, man's lifespan split into two. People were living 800, 900, then it came down to 500, 400, and started coming down to 120 after the flood. Praise God. These are things you should know. Man's age just came down. That shows you something. What Moses saw in the vision, because it was a vision, was for like a being, a force, to come into the dust of the earth and get a body, a physical body. He came to the earth and he now saw a physical body. But really what happened was that Adam, created by God, who already had dominion in the earth, took body from the dust of the earth. What God created in Genesis 1:26 and 27 was the and that spirit of Adam was what took on flesh from the dust of the earth. Hallelujah. It's not that God now breathed. Because if God created man's body, then breathed into it, that means there was death before life. And there was no death on Genesis 3. Because the body without the spirit is dead. So the spirit precedes the body. So that breath, you know, that you saw came into the dust is actually Adam himself. Let me see if you understand that. Good. Some hands are not up. It's actually Adam himself. God created Adam, so Adam came into the dust and picked a body. Because if a body precedes a spirit, that means there's death. A physical body without a spirit inside is a dead body. And God never created a dead body. Hallelujah. Okay, so Luke 3. So we find two people are called the Son of God here. In verse 22, don't forget in 23, Luke 3, Jesus is supposed to be the son of Joseph. But in 22, God spoke, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." So two people were called the son of God. Who and who? Jesus and Adam. And of course, the Bible calls one the first Adam, the other one the last Adam. Why? Because none of them came from man. Adam being the first, Jesus being the new creation. So there was no mass production in humanity. Now look at this. Let me explain that a little bit more. So here is Adam, created by God in his image. Don't forget, when we say Adam, we have Adam and Eve. Okay? Is that okay? So, God now gives him a choice. And God says, there are two trees in the garden, tree of knowledge of good and evil, tree of life. He says, the day you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in dying you will die. There are two trees. So Adam is innocent, but is now made to choose. So there's Adam and Eve as Adam, and the Bible says he disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, and I've told you many, many times, those trees in Genesis 2 were symbolic of choice. Don't forget, nobody was there. Moses wrote that document, and Moses was shown in a vision. And the only way God can communicate spiritual things to a carnal man like Moses is to use physical symbols. Sin was too deep to communicate to Moses. So it had to be used through trees. But when you go, you know, Romans 5:12, you will see that actually what entered into the world was sin. And man disobeyed. You won't see tree again. Explain anybody a tree, whether it was guava or apple or, you know, or tangerine. No. Now, look at this. So man is now made to choose. Don't forget, this man has not reproduced, he has not multiplied. He is now made to choose what he will multiply and what he will reproduce. There's a tree of life, which is life. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, which produces what? Death. So man chose what? Death. Don't forget, man is in the image of God, was created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. And God said in Genesis 2:16 and 17, the day you eat of it, you will die. So this is Adam, innocent, but now, made to choose. Go back again to James 1 that we started with, verse 13. He says, let no man say, when he is tempted of what? God. Because God cannot be tempted of any man, of any evil, neither can he tempt anyone. But every man when he is enticed away with his own desire. So, God gave man a will to choose. And man chose in Adam the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, Adam was not spiritually alive before that choice. Life was there, he never ate. That was why after he ate of that tree, God said, let us keep away the tree of life from him, lest he should eat it and live forever. Let me see if you understand that. So he had never partook of the tree of life, but he took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So man was spiritually dead. And for the first time, this was Adam that God brought before animals that were created before him, and man used his dominion to call each animal its name, without going to school, without botany, without zoology. Adam said, this is the lion, for the lion. He called everything its name, described them. And this was a man that walked with God, you know, at that state of being. And all of a sudden, the Bible says he hid himself, and God's voice walked in the garden, and Adam hid himself. And God said, Adam, where are you? It's not a question. It's not that God didn't know where he was. I said, when I heard your voice, I hid. He said, why? He said, because I was naked. He said, who told you were naked? Have you eaten of that tree? So, death happened to him instantaneously. Death means a separation from God. Immediately, Adam that was walking with God now walked far from God. From that point, brethren, in Genesis chapter 3, man functioned in death until Jesus came. So when Jesus said that in the beginning it was not so, but for the hardness of your heart, for sin in humanity, Moses allowed it. So from Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned, 4 and 5, up till Jesus came, death reigned in the earth. That's why when Jesus came in John 10:10, he said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So man was made to choose. So man now chose death, and he was dead spiritually. Romans 5:12, look at it. Romans 5:12. Run, come on, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, I want us to read Romans 5:12 together. Shall we go? Let's go. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. How did sin enter? Let's take it again. Wherefore, as by one man sin did what? Go on. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So sin came by one man, and death came by that man. Is that clear? Is that clear to everybody? So that choice was made. So Adam was called the son of God because he was made in God's image and after God's likeness. He was made in God's image and after God's likeness. Now let me stun you so that you understand this very well. Let's go back to the Genesis principle again. God made a principle. Seed will bring seed. Right? Right? Animal will bring animal. God created the animal, and then animal will mass produce itself. And God made man in his image after his likeness. Now, go back to that Luke 3 again. Something intelligent we're going to see. Don't forget we're referring to the law in Genesis. Notice in verse 37, Luke 3. Which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Malahel, which was the son of Canaan. Now let's see 38 together. Which was the son of what? And the son of Seth, which was the son of who? Which was the son of God. Now, Seth was whose son? Adam was whose son? Now who is missing there? Abba, Canaan, Israel. Why? Why? Are Cain and Abel missing? Because they did not bring forth any seed after their kind. So, you see, when you read things like this, don't regard, it's not for you to just say, I don't like this. No. There are some intelligent things there. There was nothing written by mistake. Now, why? Go to Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 4. Sorry, chapter 5 first. Let's see chapter 5 first. Of course, we all know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain, you know, killed his brother. And then Cain went, into Abiyan. You don't see him again. Now look at Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations. Notice this. Genesis 5 verse 1. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day God created man, how? The likeness of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them. And called their name what? Adam, in the day when they were created. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. Where? And what? And he called his name what? Something clear? Does something tell you? God's production or God's creation was Adam in his likeness and image. Adam now produced after what? Now, did Adam produce after his image and after his kind because Adam sinned? No. Adam was the seed that was to bring forth fruit after his kind. So everything Adam was going to bring back, give back to, was going to be after Adam's image and likeness. Now, without much ado, by Genesis chapter 3, Adam was spiritually dead. So everything that Adam was going to give birth to was going to be what? Spiritually dead. Now, would you say that God was the one who made Seth a sinner? Huh? Because the word Seth, let me explain. The word Seth in Hebrew, it means mortal, subject to death, one who is subject to death. Now, is that in the image of God? Likeness of God? No. Why? Because Adam, the one God created, had now produced after his kind, which was a fallen state. Let me see your hand, that's clear to me. Okay, very good. So, the law of Genesis was set in motion. Notice this. God made seed, and every time God created, he will now speak to those things and say, multiply. So God empowered everything he created to multiply after his kind. Whether you're an animal, whether it's a plant, after its kind. So, in other words, those people or those creatures of God determine that multiplication. I will explain that. Let me use a simple illustration. Everybody knows that fornication is a sin. It's not the will of God. Now, here's somebody now, a guy and a girl who are not married. Okay? They are not married. And they commit the sin of fornication. And according to Genesis principle, the ovum and the sperm meet. Because they have committed sin, would that mean that they won't be a child? No. If one violent guy rapes a girl and then she conceives, would that mean they will not be a child? Huh? They will be a child. Would you be right to now say thank God for the child? Why did you laugh? You thank God for everything. Would you say thank God? Would you say, well, God, you know, God is, a rape. I mean, this is a sinful conduct. But a child comes out of it. You see that? You know, God will just say, So he took that spirit of man and say, do you guys have sins? Oh, can I do? And dump that spirit in the fornication. Of course not. But God has set a law by his word that what he created, okay, will multiply. Male and female will multiply. That is why every cat, every dog, male and female that mates will do what? Multiply. Without prayer point, you don't have to lay hands on them. Praise God. Even simple things like poultry, put them in the right environment, right? Are we together? Come on, are you following me here? Because we're going to explain barrenness. We're going to explain why are people barren. Praise God. Okay. Do children come from heaven? Of course not. Nobody came. You didn't come from heaven. Adam did not come from heaven.
Abi? Did you come from heaven? You came from the earth. God created him in the earth. God has been creating things in the earth. It's as good as saying the camel who came from heaven because God created it. He came from the earth. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15 says, only Jesus came from heaven. The Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 to 49. Jesus came from heaven. The second man, verse 47, is the Lord from heaven. So Jesus and Adam were called the Son of God. And they were called first and second Adam because both of them came from God directly. They came from God directly. Adam did not have a parent. Jesus came from God as the Son of God in the womb of Mary. So, who determines the skin color? Parents. Right? Is that not true? Is that not true? It's not true. Parents determine the skin color. Who determines duty? Ha ha ha. Who determines duty now? Who determines duty? Baldness of head. So many things like that. You say it's God. You see, God just made this person. No. Praise God. You are too intelligent to think like that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Praise God. Flesh refers to mankind falling from God. That which is born of flesh. That's when Jesus was going to, when Bible was going to describe Jesus in John 1:13, was not born of the will of man. Right? It was not born of the will of the flesh. It was not born of the will of man. Every one of us, we were born by the will of the flesh, we were born by the will of man, we were born by blood. Your blood, the blood that, your DNA determines a lot of things. Look, some of you, the reason why you are not brilliant is traceable to your parents. Some parents are dull. And when there's a mutation, look, are we together here? You see, why you have genetic disorders? It didn't come from heaven. Something had happened. And like I told you, if you look at it again, the earth was conducive for man to live long. But over time, that's why everybody, all scientists are telling you that the earth is closing up. Some people believe, unintelligently, that, it will just be the end of time and God will just destroy the earth. No, it has a time span. Actually, man can predict the end of the earth. He can. It has a time span. The Bible actually says the earth will grow old and it will wax old and it will be wound up. Isn't the Bible? So somewhere we just feel, when they say dinosaurs, do you have dinosaurs? Where did they get dinosaurs? Forget all that, please. I know the Bible, I don't want to know. We laugh. We know that no dinosaur entered the ark of Noah. Are we there? Now, the question of some people is this. Amen. That how old is the earth? Really, nobody knows. You know why? Adam's age started counting when he left the Garden of Eden. Amen. Was after he left the garden, as age started counting. But you know, animals were there in the earth before then. That span of time could be accounted within time for 1,000 years, 2,000 years. So sciences are not far from the truth. Praise God. Are we still together? So your height is from your parents, is it? Huh? Because from Adam, man was to bring forth after his kind. Right? If you go to an hospital, and then if somebody was barren or something, and we pray for the person, in Jesus' name, the power of God goes into you. And we say, yes, glory to God. And then she comes and says, Pastor, I'm pregnant. And then glory to God. And then, she gets to the hospital, and then we want to celebrate, and we hear, woo, 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 woo. We say, oh God, you are such a good God. No, you didn't come from God. Of course, children, babies don't come from God now. Oh, sorry, they don't come from heaven. They don't come from heaven. Praise the Lord. That's clear now. So what happened? We'll find out. Or you go to the place and then
the lady gives birth to a child. We pray for her. We minister healing power and all that. And then they do the DNA test. And the man is saying, you say, sir, God is great. You can't question him. They now force you, maybe they told you how to be submissive. Now do a naming ceremony. English said, child. Because he said, what is this nonsense? The only way that can be explained is an incarnation. And only two people lay claim to that kind of thing. Adam and Jesus. Every other person comes from daddy and mother. Clear? If SS should marry SS and they give birth to AA, that's a rematch. Somebody played the rematch. Do you know how we know who it is? Because we all know the seed is in the man. So what does the woman do? She creates the environment, right, for the child to germinate. Correct? That's why in the Bible, you don't hear women begat. It's man begat. Jesus came as the seed of man through a woman and incarnate him. Listen carefully, oh. So you know you can explain all these scientific people will take, they take their sperm and then... Let me leave that. Praise God. You know, these things are not unfounded. They are right there in the Word. Let's keep going. We'll end now. Praise God. So God has never created a sick child. He has never created... You know what he created in Genesis was perfect. Assuming Adam came out of God and it was like this. So if you saw your bow leg, don't say, no, I do. You know, when I was young and I see somebody who has bow leg, I say, where are the bow leg? They say, shut up, what God has created. No, God does not create bow leg. Praise God. Every good gift, amen, and every perfect gift comes from above. From the Father of light, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If there is a genetic defect, did it come from God? No. Every good gift and every perfect. You know the other creation we can see? Jesus Christ. As if Jesus came, and then his back was bent. Like old man, I say, the mother said, Jesus. You say, this is the will of God. But you know, Jesus is God's will on the earth. He was perfect created. That is the mind of God. Hallelujah. Are you there? That is a baby that came from heaven. Praise God. Cried normally. Did not stay in the womb for 10 months. Did not come out as a premature. Praise God. You know, didn't need, you know, to bring out a knife and slice woman into four. They need to inject, you know, Mary and inject her and inject her. Whoosh! He's not coming out. 9 days labor. It came out at the right time. Praise God. You know, even when they didn't find a place to deliver the child, you know, the child did not come down on the road. Just flew out, you know, in the car. Praise God. Are we following this at all? So, who sinned? Who answered that question? Praise God. So God, you know, in Christ Jesus, shows us his own sovereignty. What he will do. Jesus is called the Lord from heaven. So the book of Genesis, God set everything into motion. Let me show you something in Genesis chapter 4 verse 1. Verse 1. You know a woman cannot be walking on the street and then, you know, a sister in church, sister, your tummy is growing big. Bless God. Your tummy is growing big, we give him praise. He's going bigger, is the Lord's doing. And then this inside is holy. And then the ninth morning, a child comes and say, I don't know. I don't know. That was why, don't boo Joseph. Don't abuse Joseph. If you two had a woman you want to marry, and she says, sweetheart, I'm going to tell you, say, what is it? Tell me so. Sweetheart, it's a bit difficult. I'm pregnant. You are what? Oh.
Oh, you told me you were a virgin. Look at my hand. It was God.
Gently, I was watching CNN News and somebody switched on the TV. Who is this? I'm Gabriel. You shall come see. You see? Or maybe you look at me, no? An angel had to come to Joseph. And thank God he believes in angels too. You don't believe in angels and angels come to say, so? Said, don't worry. And the angel did not just forget, hey, bros, accept the thing, wait. He said, it is written. Hallelujah. So, Joseph said, okay. Pastor says, what the issue? So he just took it in the other time. But besides that, it shows you that it takes a man and a woman to have a baby. You know, I was praying for a lady to have a child. And then I asked her, how is tonight like? She just said, I don't understand. Ah. I said, my prayer won't bring a baby. You better get ready to have a baby at night. Say, la. I was talking to a married woman. Aha. Thank you, Pastor. It takes a man and a woman to have a child. Praise God. You know that over time, the atmosphere became so difficult, you now have ovulation period. It was never like that. Things have changed in the earth. Man's body now responds to the atmosphere. To heat, to cold. Doctors, you know what I'm talking about. Huh? To the things that it takes. To the atmosphere. So sometimes some believers going for barrenness will go, some of them are just intelligent. And they pick the right time of the month, they will have children. Praise God. We'll get to all that later. Where do babies come from? Do you have the answer now? Do you have the answer? No, Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew his wife, the word there is to know intimately sexually, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Very bad translation. Let me give you the proper interpretation. What she was saying there is this. I have created, acquired a man with the help of God. That's what she said. She didn't say God gave her the child. What she said was that this child came from me with the help of God. Where did that help come from? Genesis 1:27. Be fruitful, multiply. Do you know dogs don't pray to God to have children? I ever seen a dog pray and he's speaking in tongues. And he says, I'm using this scripture, Mark 11:24. Woo, woo, woo. You know, it's just, there's a principle in the dog. Praise God. Are you learning something? Because that was what God said. Hallelujah. So I said, but if you eat the fruit, you do it. Now let's begin to close. We will never know. Somebody asked a question. I said, what would now have happened if Adam did not sin? How would he have had his children? What kind of children would he have given birth to? We don't know. Adam didn't let us know. Praise God. But you know, we now have a way people can be God's children. So children come from the law of Genesis. What God had created already, and it calls to be fruitful when male and female come together. So, barrenness. Like I said, we'll answer that later. In the beginning, it was not so. But from the hardness of man's heart, barrenness became an experience. Barrenness can never be explained away in the plan and purpose of God. Romans 5:12.
Praise God. Let me see if you're learning something out there. Romans 5:12.
You know, these things are so simple, but they are not simple. You know, Romans 5:12, it says, through one man, sin entered into the world. He didn't say through God's plan. He said through one man.
A man that had a desire, a man that had a lust. Don't forget, that desire will conceive and bring forth sin. And sin will do what? Bring forth death. Sin entered into the world. Praise God. And the Bible says, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So when you see a defective child, is not a gift from God. That defect is not a gift from God. No. The gift from God is perfect and it is good. Praise the Lord. Perfect and it is good. So we can answer, where do babies come from? They come from Adam. The principle God made in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Male and female created he them. So straightforward. Do you know that even someone like David, when he committed fornication or adultery with Bathsheba, a child came. Right? That's why if you are here, you are married, you look at your pulse. And you say, God, I begin to have children, one, two, every year. And your wife becomes Mrs. Pregnant. You know, the way they describe her in the street, that woman that is pregnant, last year, okay, this year, that woman now, that pregnant woman. 2 years after, that pregnant woman. 4 years after, that pregnant woman. We ask you, bruh, what's going on? Is the Lord's doing? You are a liar. It's not the Lord's doing. You look at your pocket. You are earning 10K per 2 months. And those children now become armed robbers. Stealing BlackBerry. Stealing Nokia 3310. Can you imagine? They're even poor robbers. They now become, they now start doing Yahoo Yahoo. You don't even have money to send them to school. You say, God, what have you done to me? You are a liar. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither he tempted evil. Stand to your feet, give God praise. Bless the Lord.